So today we're continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text 74. Atedham nityada yukto japa navahita puman achirashtraya apnoti Vasudeva Parayana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. A devotee of Lord Krishna, whose mind is always absorbed in Him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. Purport. Perfection means becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna. As stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.28, Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Makha. The ultimate goal of life is Vasudev, or Krishna. Any devotee of Lord Krishna can attain all perfection, material gains, and liberation simply by offering prayers to Him. There are many varieties of prayers to Lord Krishna chanted by great sages and great personalities such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Krishna is known as Shiva Virinchi Nutam. Shiva means Lord Shiva and Virinchi means Lord Brahma. Both of these demigods are engaged in offering prayers to Lord Vasudev, Krishna. If we follow in the footsteps of such great personalities and become devotees of Lord Krishna, our lives will become successful. Unfortunately, people do not know this secret. Na te vidu sarva gatim hi Vishnum. They do not know that the real interest and the highest perfection of life is to worship Lord Vishnu, Krishna. It is impossible to become satisfied by trying to adjust the external energy. Without being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one can only be baffled and confused. To save living entities from such a calamity, Lord Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many, many births and deaths, a wise man surrenders unto me, knowing very well that I, Vasudev, am everything. Such a great soul is very rare. We can achieve whatever benediction we want simply by becoming devotees of Vasudev. Oma gyana timirandasya gyana gyana shalakaya shakshurun militam yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I'll have to give a very short class because I have to catch a train to London for a very special Diwali celebration at Parliament. They invited the Hindu Forum of Belgium to participate a few days ago. And since in Belgium it's unthinkable to have a religious function in Parliament, it's a great opportunity to see how it functions in the UK. It's quite a difference between Belgium and many countries in Europe and the UK. Here, if you even suggest having a religious festival in a public place, they will, you know, their hairs will stand on end from fear. But in the UK, they've been having it for many years now, of Muslims, Hindus, you know, the Parliament is open for them to celebrate their festivals. Here we have to be very low profile and humble. So the verse is quite interesting because it really focuses on actually the goal of our, you know, of our life or of practice of the Krishna consciousness movement, which is to achieve perfection by becoming a devotee of Krishna. Many times we think that when we join and, you know, we shave up and we start practicing, that that's it, we're devotees of Krishna, we're perfect, and we've achieved perfection. And then as the years go by, we realize that it's not so easy as that, that perfection is not something that is achieved like overnight. At the end of this, of the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita that it's very rare to be fully absorbed in Krishna. So what we're trying to achieve is a very rare thing in this world. And though we're a preaching movement and we're trying to make it accessible to everyone, we should also be conscious that it's not everybody who can become perfect in this life and become fully devoted to Krishna. That's something we tend to forget. And we think that by practicing Krishna consciousness, we have achieved already perfection. In one way, it's true, because we're in the process, but to have this, you know, mind always absorbed in Him, as we know, it's not so easy. The mind is dragging us here and there, and so many desires are popping up, distracting us from our service, distracting us from our sadhana, from the chanting. So it's quite a task to control the mind and absorb it in Krishna full time, 24 hours a day. I think because I prepared verse 75, but I figured out that because of the topical class that we didn't do a verse yesterday, so I slightly prepared today's verse. And in the verse, in the next verse, Srila Prabhupada mentions that it's very difficult to achieve Krishna consciousness. It's not an easy process. The process is easy, but the achieving of the perfection is a lifelong goal. So of course, perfection means different things for different people. You know, we're focusing on devotional service and loving Krishna. So our perfection is to be 24 hours a day serving and loving Krishna. But for other persons in this world, perfection means something else. They wouldn't see that as perfection. You know, actually very few people see as perfection to be 24 hours a day absorbed in service to Krishna and loving Krishna. You know, it's not a very common idea of perfection. Most people think perfection is to, you know, achieve a lot of material success in this life, and if they're pious, to be promoted to the heavenly planets in the next life. That's perfection for them. What could there be more in this world than to be very, you know, materially opulent, fit, beautiful, intelligent, powerful, you know, have a lot of opulences, and after this life, because we've been so pious, be promoted to higher levels of material enjoyment. For most people, that's perfection, and they're completely convinced that there's nothing more than that. A few might think, well, that might not be the perfection actually, and then they start to think, you know, a little bit more. And we have all the gyanis. There are many, many gyanis in the world, and they think by studying and analyzing and, you know, splitting things into many, and trying to use their logic and reasoning, they will achieve by austerities and philosophy perfection, and ultimately liberation from this world, which they see as troublesome. And then you have the yogis, who are even less in numbers. You know, real yogis, there are very few in this world, who can actually control the mind and the body and do proper meditation. And those yogis who achieve their perfection is mainly mystical powers, and, you know, having a lot of worship, being very powerful, and being able to control a lot of people, the masses, and do some mystical, powers, display some mystical powers. So for them, that's perfection. What else could there be than that? And for some, either yogis, karmis, or gyanis, who get the mercy of Krishna, and who have some inkling, some sincerity to worship Krishna, then the process of Krishna consciousness might be presented to them. We've been some of those fortunate souls that have been given the opportunity to take to the process of Krishna consciousness and understand, at least theoretically understand, what is the perfection in our tradition, what is perfection for us. Srila Prabhupada explains it many, many, many times through his books. It's obviously the most important element that he's presenting to everyone, that one has to, one way or another, develop one's dormant love for Krishna. That's the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement, for ourselves and to spread that. And as we know, it's a gradual process, so most persons won't achieve that perfection in this life, but as long as we're in the process, we're in the right direction, and whatever time it takes, we will come to achieve this perfection, whether it's in one lifetime or several lifetimes. And Srila Prabhupada finishes the purport by saying that actually, whatever benediction we want, whatever we need or we want in this world, which is not obviously contrary to religious principles, we can achieve by becoming devotees of Vasudev. So becoming a devotee of Krishna is a very broad thing. It's not narrow. It's not just one particular way of becoming a devotee of Krishna. It's very broad. And that's what allows people, you know, to, you know, be able to practice Krishna consciousness in their own way, at their own, you know, capacity. And that's why we're a preaching movement, because we want everybody to engage in worshipping Krishna no matter what their desires are, as long as they are not, you know, detrimental for themselves and for society. Jai Shishwara Gopinath Ki Jai. So another point that Srila Prabhupada brings, which is very important, and actually Lord Shiva is bringing in the translations, is the principle of prayer, of reciting prayers. So in our tradition, prayers is one of the main practices of devotional service. And sometimes we might forget, and we forget to pray, you know, in a very conscious way, you know, to stop our busy life or, you know, devotional practices, you know, our sadhana, and just take a time, a pause for actually praying, developing this devotional service of prayer, you know, really praying in our mind, maybe even writing a prayer or reciting a prayer to Krishna personally. So this is very important practice in devotional service. And we have so many examples throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam of great devotees who compose beautiful prayers. You know, some very, very eloquent prayers have been written by great devotees throughout history. Here it's mentioned the prayers of Lord Brahma, which we recite regularly, the Chintamani prayers in the morning, Brahma Samhita we recite for many functions, and also Lord Shiva's prayer, and many, many prayers from great devotees. You know, it's nice to get in the prayer mood sometimes and listen to those prayers and try to compose our own prayers to Krishna. We all have something to offer to Krishna in the form of prayer. So prayer is a very important practice in devotional service, and, you know, we should use it as much as we can. And then one very, very important point that Srila Prabhupada makes is that it's impossible to become satisfied by external arrangements. You know, he very clearly says that it is impossible to become satisfied by trying to adjust the external energy. You know, many times materialists, they think that by, you know, they're having problems with something, some suffering is there, some difficulty is there, some challenge, you know, even some catastrophe happens, and they think that by, you know, manipulating the external energy, they're going to be able to solve the you know, the problem, or the problem in big. But actually, it's not possible to solve the problems of the material world by external arrangements, by making things better and adjusting things. You know, without being a devotee of Krishna, one can only be baffled and confused. So by trying to, you know, think that we can adjust the sufferings in this world by external arrangements only, then the conclusion would be that we'll be baffled and confused. So it's not a pretty good conclusion. But if we put Krishna in trying to solve problems, then we will see that we will really solve the problems to the core, which means death, birth, age, old age and disease, and all the problems that happen in this material world. And through that process, we can also solve a lot of problems in this material world, because Krishna, you know, if he's in the center of society, he will make things as, functional as possible in this world, so that we don't lose our concentration on spiritual life. That's the purpose of human society, is that things function smoothly, and that at the same time we can make spiritual advancement. But when we look around in modern days, many things don't function smoothly, and we try to adjust things by material arrangements, and that will never work unless we, you know, add Krishna. And in the next purport, Srila Prabhupada will focus a lot on the importance of leaders, I think. Oh, that's in the other one. I read it recently. So we have to add to whatever solutions we want to find in this material world, we have to add Krishna. Otherwise we will just become more confused. You know, sometimes they find a solution for one problem and it creates three other problems, and they become even more confused. So that happens quite a lot in society, because it's a material, they're trying to find a material solution for a material problem, and that doesn't work very well. So I think I'll stop here and ask for comments and questions. I think it's quite obvious that we don't have the monopoly on pure devotional service to Krishna. There might be pure devotees and persons who have attained perfection in loving Krishna outside of Krishna, the Krishna consciousness movement. We offer a lot of facilities to develop that, and we have a very, you know, solid program and philosophy and organization, which, you know, helps to spread Krishna consciousness in a very dynamic and substantial way. But we shouldn't think that we are the only way to, you know, develop love for Krishna or become perfected in spiritual life. There are so many other sampradayas who are still preaching or at least practicing Krishna consciousness according to their tradition, and developing love for Krishna. So it's we should think that we have a very valuable gift that Srila Prabhupada gave us, and that we can take full advantage of it, but we shouldn't become proud and think that outside of ISKCON nobody can achieve perfection, there are no souls who have come to, you know, it's a very kind of narrow-minded vision of No, we have a very good product, a very good facilities, but we shouldn't think that we have the monopoly, because Krishna cannot be monopolized by anyone. Krishna can manifest to whoever he wants, whenever he wants, and to think that we or me or our group of people have a monopoly would mean we're trying to limit Krishna and control Krishna, which is not possible. But that doesn't diminish the gift that we have been giving and the facilities that we have been giving, and that's the very important in itself. Not so much that we're the best or the biggest or whatever we might think. These are material considerations. We should consider we've been giving Krishna consciousness. We've been giving Krishna in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books, in the form of the deities, in the form of association of many other devotees who are also practicing Krishna consciousness. And that's good enough to give us a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of energy to preach. We don't have to consider that we're the best and unique and like that. That's a difficult question. In the sense that you're saying somebody who's never been in contact with the information about Krishna, but who has a strong desire to know God or to solve, he loves him. To love Krishna without knowing, what do you think? it's, you know, I think if you really love, you know, God, or you want to love God and know Him, He will make the occasion for knowing Him. So if somehow or other that is not there, Krishna can manifest everything in the heart, like Lord Brahma. He didn't know Krishna consciousness. There was no books, there was no deities, there was no preachers, no sadhus, no nothing. But because he had this strong desire to know and to love Krishna, then Krishna manifested everything in his heart. So it's possible, technically, you know, Krishna can do whatever he wants. But in general, you know, if one does have a strong desire and sincere desire, then he will manifest externally in the form of spiritual master or devotees or the deities or the books or some or other, to get to know about Krishna, you know, his pastimes, his qualities, his form. But if that's not there, because whatever circumstances, technically it's possible that one can love Krishna without externally knowing him, without having the information about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Krishna doesn't manifest, it's impossible to love him, yeah. Yeah, and also, I mean, we should also know that love is something can be very different according to different persons. It's not, there's not one way of developing love with somebody. There's so many different relationships one can have of love with the object of one's love. So, you know, we have a certain relationship of love with Krishna, or we're trying to develop that relationship. Others might have a different relationship of love. It might be more, you know, in a different mood, in a different understanding. Not Krishna, you know, of God, in other words. Some people might have a certain, you know, the love that one might have for God is very different according to different degrees of understanding. So try to block it, to squeeze it into one box, is limiting what actually love means. But of course, as you say, without an object of love, a relationship, there's no question of love. So if somebody really doesn't have any clue about who is that object of love, then it's very difficult to have a relationship and have a perfection in that love. But it's not, I don't think we can limit the love to one particular exchange or one particular form or one particular in a relationship. It's quite big. And who are we to judge, who loves, who doesn't love, who Krishna accepts the love from? That's really between Krishna and the person who is sincerely trying to approach him or love him. And it's very difficult to narrow it down to a particular form. The what?
Christian
yeah.
As his religion. But they don't quit meat eating. They still meat eating, but they believe in God, supposed to believe in God. They're spiritual persons, but they don't want to leave meat. They still want to. So Krishna is like, he had different incarnations. Jesus Christ is one of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah is another one. And Buddha is a different incarnation. So he's for impersonal. So different persons reach to God. They have this spirituality. But it's not that everyone can be a Vaishnava. Not everyone maybe can live meat eating or smoking is for Krishna, is for everyone. And in this way they approach God, but in different forms. It's not Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, but it's Buddha, or it's Allah, it's different kinds of approaching to God. But still they go in the spiritual path.
There's still a difference between believing and loving. It's two different things. I mean, believing is something could be very superficial. You know, the faith could be very shallow, very, 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 you know, unstable. To love is you know, it's a deep, it's a, you know, if you go deep into that love, it's a big believing. You know, you can change. You know, you believe one day, you don't believe another day. But to actually come to the point of loving God, in whatever tradition it is, it's a deep realization.
Yeah, I heard people in Christians, they say, I love Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ loves me. It's like, yeah, we feel the love and that, but still they do some, you know, these things that they don't know, they drink wine, and they meet it, but maybe they don't know, they think, yeah, I love God, and God loves me. But
my understanding would be that if somebody really loves God in another tradition than the Vaishnava tradition, that Krishna would inspire him in the heart to actually purify themselves and come to higher levels of you know, of behavior, of conduct, of you know, even giving up meat, whatever. But you know, if it's very superficial, you know, then the love is, you know, not very deep. It's something that, you know, can easily be swayed and easily be diverted, and you know. And one might forget God very easily if one is not very anchored in that love.
There are priests in Argentina, they become vegetarian in time. In the beginning, the priest, they have a spiritual life, and they become vegetarian because they say, yeah, vegetarian is better.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Learn from the Bhakti.
Bhakta Peter? In what? Yeah, it depends what you consider. If you consider, like, you know, there's different Vaishnava traditions. If you consider ISKCON as being, you know, one of the manifestations of these traditions, then if you take the you know, the bigger picture, then yes, the Vaishnavas are the only ones who are trying to develop love for Krishna in his different incarnations. But if you consider ISKCON as those followers of Srila Prabhupada, we have a particular way of worshipping Krishna and developing relationship with him. So in that sense, we don't have a monopoly on love for Krishna. We have a certain way of approaching Krishna. But if you take other traditions, yeah, if in the tradition there's no mention of Krishna, then one's sincerity might bring him to the level of, through different births and different practices, come to the point of developing love for Krishna. It might take a little longer, maybe, because that is not explicitly mentioned there, unless Krishna wants to reveal himself in the heart of those sincere practitioners from other traditions. He can do that. If somebody is very sincere, Krishna can manifest himself and they can, you know, achieve love for Krishna.
Have you read, of course, Prabhupada, the paraphrase here, where he says, we are the best. If anybody else says they are as good as us, we should say, no, you are bad and you're wrong.
But in relationship, including other Vaishnava traditions.
Okay, other Vaishnava traditions, I wouldn't be sure.
Yeah, if you consider to other religious.
Else, all other, everybody else. Everybody. I mean, there you have both of Prabhupada, which gives space for interfaith and things, this kind of things. But when everybody else, at best is but a bit of food. You will get a chance to still go further.
Yeah, but I was referring more to like so many other Vaishnav sanghas. There's you know, hundreds of millions of people who are following different Vaishnav traditions, and to say that in those traditions they are not making spiritual progress, they are not developing love of Krishna, they haven't achieved perfection, they're not special souls, that would be quite drastic. Yeah, it's very broad. Yeah. It's not just our particular way of practicing Vaishnavism. There's many other ways of doing it. Yeah, so in one sense we have a very particular way of practicing Krishna consciousness, which is unique to us, and we should be very happy with it because we're getting a lot of bliss and a lot of realizations and a lot of enthusiasm from it. But we should also see that different persons are practicing in different ways within the Vaishnav traditions or in other traditions, and we should try to encourage them to go further and further in their spiritual, in their practice. And for those who are completely bewildered, they have no clue what they're doing, and what path to follow, and or they're not very sure about what the path they're in, and they're if they're sincere and if we preach nicely, then many people can also come to practice Krishna consciousness in the way we do it. But if we don't preach in the nice way, if people are not sincere enough, then of course then they will not be attracted. So it's us to make it very attractive. And it's people's sincerity that will allow them to come to the level of practicing Krishna consciousness, the way we practice. So, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.